for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216. If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
It's hump day. Hail Satan.
And we are evil. It is 666 episode.
Only comes once.
That is right. And here is we have the devil on the show today.
Yeah. And we talk about the top satanic bands.
Yes. How satanic they are. Slashing goats.
So don't think that we worship the devil, but we talk about it a lot today.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Satan.
Woe to you, O earth and sea. For the devil sends the beast with wrath, because he knows the time is short.
David Lee Roth.
Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
That's the name of the number of this episode. Can you believe it? We made it, Gatch. We made it. It's episode 666.
Oh, wow.
Meow.
We're burning upside down crosses.
Dude, we are evil.
We've got flames in the studio with us today. And we got Iron Maiden in the background.
Yeah.
Do some sound clips from bands like Deicide, Mayhem,
Amon Amarth,
some Eagles. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but the Eagles are fucking satanic.
They are, dude. They used to slaughter goats.
I didn't even know that.
What? They owned farms.
Yeah, before they started to be Linda Ronstadt's backup band, They were goat farmers.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Joe Walsh especially. There's a little something about 666, the number. Wikipedia says it is the number after 665 and the number before 667.
Fucking revelations.
No, I know.
Right there. That's I didn't know that was what was up. What was I just saying a second ago? I was going to tell Flames. Oh, the Eagles, why they're satanic. If you take the album Hotel California and open up the gatefold, because it's like a double gatefold album, so a single record.
Yeah.
Opens up on the inside.
Yeah.
And it has a picture of Joe Walsh and Don Henley and Don Felder and all those dudes and the Eagles.
Meow.
And there's a bunch of people and they're in a hotel lobby. And then up above, there's like three arched window ways or like doorways in the balcony. And there's a dude standing up there in the shadows. It's Anton LaVey, the author of the Satanic Bible.
Yeah.
Pull it up. Pull up your
pants. He was very Antonic.
It was Antonic. It's Atanic.
Really?
Yeah, he's in there. And I don't know if they did that on purpose or just to make people feel weird or what. But he's in there. Anton LaVey hanging out at the Hotel California, 1976 with the Eagles. That's funny. I'm listening to this song here on YouTube and it's got one of those videos that has all the lyrics. And during that last part, it said guitar riff. I knew that was a guitar riff. So anyway, welcome to 666, the number of the podcast. We'll be talking about some normal stuff, and we'll be talking about some 666 stuff, which, in case you didn't know, is the mark of the beast. And here's a warning for all of you people. 666 is the final key that unlocks the identity of the Antichrist.
What?
If you want, I can give you a link to a video that reveals who the Antichrist actually is.
I don't want to know, dude. Spoiler.
And therefore, it's of a highly sensitive nature, this video is. We recommend you watch the entire Prophecy Code series as it builds the foundation for the startling truths you will discover in this presentation.
Is it Kirk Cameron again?
No, you can go to 666truth.org. And watch that video if you want.
You ever seen the video of Kirk Cameron with his banana?
No, but I heard he went
bananas. What?
I heard he went bananas with his fucking religion. Yeah. No. He's religiously bananas.
I mean, what's that? They
he reads bananas religiously.
They peel bananas and then rectally insert them.
Ew.
No, they try to say that the banana is the perfect proof of God made man.
Huh.
Because of the banana, you can prove that God exists.
What? Because of the banana, you can prove that God exists.
Oh, yeah, because of the potassium.
No, because... Because look at the banana. This is their argument, is look at the banana.
Hey, I don't want to argue.
Look at the banana. It's shaped towards the mouth as you hold it. Therefore, God exists.
Well, unless you turn it over.
It's perfect to fit in the hand. God exists. It has a way to peel it easily. Therefore, God exists. But they ignored that the banana is actually quite different than the actual wild banana, that it was cultivated over many years to become what it is today.
But do you think it's socially acceptable to, like, eat a banana in church while looking into the eyes of another man?
In church?
Or just anywhere, or fucking in your bedroom, or in your fucking, in the bank.
I don't know if it's alright to
happens
eat
every day in the lunchrooms in the workplace in America.
Do you think that people aren't a little uncomfortable about eating a banana in front of their best buddy? They're like, this is a good banana that's shaped like a penis that I'm putting in my mouth right now. But it proves that God exists. And you know, if you hold it the right way, it is pointed towards your mouth. Just like if you act like it's a penis and you turn it up, it's pointed up. And my friend Diane Watson told me that if it's pointed up like that, that's a banana.
Banana!
And then she flipped it around till it was pointed down. She's all, and she was really drunk at the time. So let me try. She's all, this is a banana. And then she turned it down and she said, and this is a banana. I said a banana. And I didn't get it because I was so amazed at how drunk she was. I couldn't believe a human could get that drunk and still actually facilitate her actual physical whatever she was doing. I said, what do you mean a banana? What's a banana? She's like, get it? It's the cock after it's been in her. Did you guys need that explanation too?
Because
when she's drunk and she's talking like this, she's like, this is a banana. Whoop. And this is a banana. And I was like, what's a banana? She's like, you know, Raspberry Awards coming back. So, yeah, what would you think, what would come to your guys' mind if I asked you, like, the top six satanic bands, according to media.
No, according to media?
Oh, I'd have to say...
Nirvana.
I'd have to say, like...
Slayer, right?
Yeah, Slayer.
Megadeth.
Amon Amarth.
What? Megadeth?
Yeah, well, according to media. I don't think the mainstream media is really aware of...
They're satanically political.
Amon Amarth?
No, Megadeth.
Well, I think the media, just because of their names.
Ooh, Megadeth?
Yeah. Well, I just mean their name in metal, you know, is bigger than most.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And you guys, you know, you can't deny that there's no other genre that claims more of a connection to heavy metal, but in, like, evil Satan. You know, satanic death metal.
Robert Johnson.
That guy did make a deal with the devil.
He did, so he'd have to be satanic.
I guess, what would you think, though? You guys already said a couple. I got a list here of the top 10 most satanic death metals of all times. And the first band is a band that Hans probably listens to because I've never even heard of them. Not even sure how to pronounce it. They're from Scandinavia.
Oh, yeah.
They're from the Carpathian Forest.
Nice.
They're called Natifrost. Natifrost, one word. Natifrost.
Natifrost, it sounds familiar. It's got those umlauts over it, doesn't it?
No
okay,
umlauts.
Okay, then never mind.
Oh, I thought you said Nirvana wasn't satanic. Never mind. They have...
What is going on over there?
Flames is going on. They have songs like Satanic Victory, Sluts of Hell, Mass Destruction... and Goat Worship.
Hmm. Are those all those actual are songs. Satanic bands?
No, those are songs by the band Natifrost. All right, number nine coming in, one of my favorite bands, and I don't worship the devil. I don't care what you say. Morbid Angel.
Ooh.
Ever since the debut of their 1989 album Altars of Madness, they have mastered the form of extreme metal, producing some of the most evil-sounding heavy metal. And on their first album, there is a ton of quotes directly from the Necronomicon, mm-hmm. which you guys probably all know from the movie Evil Dead.
Yeah.
It's bound in leather and skin and tied up
human flesh
blood or something like that. But yeah, these guys, they don't really mess around when it comes to pretending to be satanic, if they are or not. I know that their guitar player is a total nerd and likes Dungeons and Dragons and different stuff like that. There might be more bands that Hans knows that we don't. Coming in at number eight is the Electric Hellfire Club.
What?
You ever heard of, you never heard?
Nope. No. Never heard of the Electric Hellfire Club.
Huh.
And they're metal?
They're obscure alternative electro-industrial metal.
I was going to say, yeah, it sounds like something that you'd find like in a bar down in downtown L.A.
They're a band of evil hippies from Wisconsin.
Oh, well, maybe you'd find them out in a dairy farm somewhere.
Maybe. They apparently repeatedly make references to serial killers, mass murder, devil worship, carnal lust, orgies, and drug abuse. Their leader, Thomas Thorne, is literally an ordained priest in the Church of Satan, and even gave a eulogy for the church's creator, Anton LaVey, when he died in 97, who we were just talking about, who was mm-hmm. on the Eagles inside there. Now, here's a band I know Hans likes, coming in at number seven. They share the name with a now defunct and gone classic metal venue in Portland, Satyricon. They're a Norwegian black metal band that was obsessed with medieval history. Apparently they sing about the devil a little bit. They're led by vocalist and lyricist Satyr, which is the first part of Satyricon. mm-hmm. Maybe he's an... I wonder if he's an icon. Satyr is an icon. They're yeah. compared to other bands Hans like Dark Throne and Bathory and Burzum. How about Mother Earth, Hans? You ever
those
heard
guys
of?
Are all satanic, aren't they?
Oh yeah, but they're not. Well, we were only to number seven. We've got six.
Is Motley Crue on this list too?
I don't know yet. Because see, this list is cool. It only gives me three at a time, and then I got to go to the next page.
Ooh.
All right, here's a band that my friend Ryan Rook used to play in Domesticide. Gave me a copy of this band, and I had never heard of them. And I'm not sure if it's called Marduk or Marduk. It's Marduk, mm-hmm. Which is taken from an ancient Babylonian god, Marduk, I will say. They're a black metal band from Sweden. They were really into anti-Christianity, religious and philosophical Satanism, and a dark look into the past, including brutal memories of World War II and atrocities committed by the Third Reich. So number six is Marduk, and then we move on to number five, Behemoth. Oh. They're from Poland. I saw those guys
yeah.
for Black Dahlia Murder and King Diamond.
Wow.
And King Diamond played about one song, and I was like, we're out of there. Sorry, I used to like him more than I do right now. But Behemoth from Poland... coming in at number five, they have albums like Satanica, The Apostasy, which probably means something satanic. And now we're going to get to the top four on the list here as I switch to the next page. Brujeria. Now, I do not agree that they should be so top on the list there. They're,
mm-hmm.
You guys familiar with Brujeria?
Yeah, sounds, I thought it was yeah, Brujeria.
Sounds like a...
Brujeria.
Sounds like a disease I got when I walked in the tavern one time.
Where, in like Tijuana?
No, in downtown Albany, Oregon.
I walked out with Brujeria all over my fucking penis, man. This is a long-known cult band rumored to be made up of members of... a few satanic drug lords, Mexicans, or, and this is the true story, members of bands like Fear Factory, Napalm Death, Faith No More, Dead Kennedys, and Terrorizer. They wear like bandanas across their face and dark glasses on stage, so nobody really knows who they are. But all their songs are sung in Spanish. They have a song called Narcos Satanicos, which is translated to satanic drug dealers, or Molestando Niños Muertes, which means molesting dead children.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Almas de Vente.
Well, Like souls for sale. They're going to molest children and do it to the dead ones.
And one of their top charting hits is Sesos Humanos Sacrificio, which translates to human brain sacrifice. Their most infamous album was 93's Matando Gueros, which translates to Killing White Boys, which featured a real-life picture of a dead man's decapitated, rotting head until they got banned, and then they had to...
Then they had to
get a new cover with them.
Disband?
No. Another one of all of Hans's favorite bands are making this list. Number three, Dark Funeral. They emerged from Sweden in the early 90s.
Dark Funeral. Yeah. Isn't that a Black Sabbath song?
Electric Funeral. Oh. Close, though. They came Dark Funeral came out around the time as Gorgoroth and Marduk.
Mm-hmm. Marmaduke?
Marmaduke.
I didn't know Marmaduke was Satanist.
Oh, he's a satanic dog. Dark Funeral's music focuses more on literal depictions of the underworld, hell, and end times on their albums. I'm sure Hans probably has some of their stuff. And so we got two left, and it's making me change the page again. So you got any drum roll?
No.
Oh, you got to save it for number one. Good job, Flames, on the drum roll. Okay, now I was waiting for this band, and I thought they would have been maybe a little lower on the list, but Deicide.
Deicide.
And they're really satanic, right?
I think Glenn Benton, if he isn't, he really portrays the fact that he is. He has an inverted upside down cross. Into his forehead that he had like a brand, and he would heat it up, and every third Sunday of the month. You got a soda over there? Every third Sunday of the month, he would brand that upside-down cross into his forehead. It's still there. There was, rumors that he used to sacrifice cats in his spare time.
Mm-hmm.
But deicide literally means killing of God. There's that.
I thought you were going to say killing of cats.
This is weird how they say this. Glenn Benton's throat is consistently deep and demonic.
Why?
His throat is deep.
Must have been a lady writer.
His mother was known as Linda Lovelace. Unfortunately, Glenn Benton's throat is consistently deep and demonic, while his lyrics are blasphemous. They stirred up controversy among many fundamentalist Christian groups with titles like Once Upon the Cross.
When did he start his own community college?
I was just going to say that.
Right out here in Oregon, at the Albany place, they got the Glenn Benton Community College, which is just an offshoot. you can go there in Lebanon also to the little Glenn Benton Center, the Glenn Benton Community College Center. I went to GBCC for a while. It's the first Church of Satan's actual university. Some people call it a community college, but I transferred to Glenn Benton University up in Portland after I graduated from GBCC. But
it's actually a community collage.
This is true. It's a community Christianity killers. Here it says, he has an inverted cross branded in his forehead to prove his loyalty to the Dark Lord. All right, so I'm just kind of trying to play this out and waiting for Flames' drum roll for the number one. And I mentioned this band before I looked at the list. I didn't know if they were going to make it to number one. Drum roll. Mayhem, formed in 1984 in Norway. Their hellish sound and violent lifestyle still serves as the epitome of true Norwegian black metal. The band has gone through countless lineups since their inception. But they were initially inspired by bands like Slayer, who I'm sad didn't make the list, Celtic Frost, Venom, Judas Priest, and Motorhead. But as time went on, the music became faster, darker, more violent, and grim. I believe that this band is the band that had that guy that went to prison for killing another member of a black metal band.
Oh, yeah.
Varg Vikernes from Burzum. He committed a spree of church arsons to proclaim his hatred for Christianity and the eventual murder of Euronymous.
Euronymous?
Yeah, that's his name, his real name. Just before the release of Mayhem's quintessential album, De Mysterious Dom Satanas, a Latin phrase by Lord Satan's Mysterious Secret Rites. The record came out in 1994 when Vikernes was sentenced for the murder of Euronymous. I'm sorry, Hans, if I'm mispronouncing these. I don't know my fucking Norway speak. I do, however, know how to curse in Russian, and we might get to that later. But just because these guys are the most satanic band in the land, and it just happens to be episode 666, let's hear a little bit of Mayhem in the background. And, you know, I've looked up the word Mayhem. You know that commercial for insurance where that guy is Mayhem and he's fucking everything up? The definition for Mayhem is when you rip someone's arm off. Like, a lot of shit's got to go on, but you have to have an arm ripped off for it to actually be Mayhem.
Yeah.
So no one has really went through any torment and Mayhem both. A lot of people have went through torment. I wonder if it's the same for a leg. I don't think it is. Okay, here's some Mayhem. Check these guys out. The most satanic band in the world. Oh, he's got a pig head right on the stage. It looks real.
What about the band Black Widow? You ever heard of those guys?
There's probably more than one. I have not heard of them.
It would make sense that there'd be more than one.
Just because that seems
Black
like a
Widow.
It just seems like a really random name for a band. But what do you got on those guys?
They formed. They were one of the first to be openly satanic bands.
Huh. Back in the 70s or something?
66 around there. No, 69
wow.
They formed.
Ooh, they formed a 69 and got satanic. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. At least people were hailing Satan.
Yeah, their first debut album was Sacrifice in 1970. They used to play some shows with Balak Sabbath.
Oh, is that different than Black Sabbath? Or Balak Sabbath?
Yeah.
Balak.
They used to play some bands with Balak Sabbath.
They would do a mock sacrifice on stage at their shows of a nude woman.
Whoa.
I want to see that.
In 1969.
I heard Alice Cooper might be doing that on stage with Motley Crue when they come back.
I've seen Alice live, and he is awesome.
Do you think he's better than Motley Crue was?
Oh, millions times
better. Well, they're
going to
be sharing the stage at the Sleep County Amphitheater up
way
there.
Way better.
Up there by Portland.
Way better.
Vancouver on July 26th if you want to go see Motley Crue's last ever show.
No, thank you.
In Oregon, or anywhere for that matter.
He opened up for Scorpions.
He's going to open up for Crue. I don't think that's fair in the world of rock. Alice Cooper was known as satanic, but he didn't really sing satanic stuff. His show was so over the fucking top that just people thought he must have been possessed by the devil.
It's an awesome show.
I've seen the videos. I never got to see Alice live, but I'd love to.
Oh, yeah.
Black Widow's most popular song was Come to the Sabbath, which has been covered by many bands.
Hmm. Well, I've got a little information about satanic bands here, too. We'll go back and forth. The first thing you need to know is that a true Satanist will tell you that any group that puts satanic imagery on their album covers is pretty much bogus.
Mm-hmm.
Not true Satanists. If you got a pentagram on your arm,
they'd still put stuff on there, wouldn't they?
The other thing you need to know is that a true Satanist will also tell you that it's all music, or that he'll tell you that all music is satanic. Every single note of every music played is satanic.
Hmm.
That's what true Satanists think. And an article on satanic rock is a tricky proposition insofar as none of it is real. Explicitly satanic rock like Venom is really no more satanic than the Carpenters. And the Carpenters were just as satanic as Venom.
What? You mean
Karen
Carpenter?
Yeah, that's why she died. Because she couldn't keep her food down because the devil was in her stomach. There's a history to the appearance of satanic imagery and references in rock music, so consider this an attempt to organize that history a little bit as we talk to you guys on this episode 666. Oh, we forgot to say happy hump day, you guys. Get out there and fuck the devil. Hump, like Stryper would say, to hell with the devil. We're born again, and we're going to fuck him in the ass. Because if you keep, like, it's like a cat that keeps coming to your house that you don't want around because he's eating your cat's food and trying to fuck your cat and make you have more cats. I love cats, but when I shoo a cat away by saying, shoo, kitty, and they keep coming back every day, I got two fucking stragglers. Mustache, who looks like Hitler from next door, mm-hmm. and then the mobster from across the street. I hit old mobster right in the rib cage with a rock the other day, and for a second I felt bad, but I didn't because he was back like 3 hours later. So I'm about to start sacrificing neighbor cats.
Hey, do you know who you need on your porch?
A dog?
Robert and Michael Sweet.
To hell with the devil. I'm killing cats. What, will their Christian force keep the bad kitties away?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, you had a point there earlier, Gatch. If you let your hair grow, nobody will notice. No, you have a point. And that was a joke I stole from Cheech and Chong. That Robert Johnson was probably the first satanic musician ever. Because the blues has always been the devil's music, you know, it glorified drinking, womanizing, gambling, dope, violence, depravity.
Robert Johnson.
He was the guy from the Crossroads that apparently made that first deal with the devil. And
in the 20s.
Oh, okay.
And they had that movie called The Crossroads with the Karate Kid in it.
Yeah.
Steve Vai, and that was kind of loosely based on him, but they chose a not white kid, but he wasn't black either, which was weird. But,
You know who was a member of the Satanic Church and one of Anton LaVey's close friends?
Don Henley?
Liberace.
He was a gaytonist. A gay Satanist.
He was, dude.
A gaytonist. He's a gaytonist.
He was the greatest gaytonist ever. He loved devils and loved penises.
Gay satanic.
Oh, look at this players. Candelabra that I have. It's just divine. Hail Satan. This next number is a song I wrote about sacrificing cats and then fucking them. No, just kidding. He wasn't a best.
In the neck. Yeah.
That's like the Russians. I'll fucking punch your neck off, you fucking cunt louse. You guys know what a cunt louse is?
Is that like a...
It's like a...
Crabs?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's a genital lice. I hate to generalize, but it's a genital lice. So, Gatch, you're over there reading, but you haven't been saying it. Did you find any information out over there?
No. Liberace was a Satanist.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a news
see,
to me.
Yeah. You I'm see, speechless. I was speechless for... No.
I might use that in my act because that was kind of funny when I said, oh, look at that candelabra. It's just divine. Hail Satan. I don't do my lisp very well, though. The Beatles were almost considered satanic.
Right? Yeah, back in the day.
Aleister Crowley among the collected faces on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts.
Yeah, that was a big album controversy, wasn't it? Well, Shadow of the Devil.
And the same year of the Beatles' album of that name, Sgt. Pepper, Rolling Stones came out with this Satanic Majesty's Request.
Yeah, and then they had Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
And then, the other creepy albums that people might have thought satanic back in the day were like Alice Cooper.
Well, yeah, we said that. And also Zeppelin had a known acquaintance with Aleister Crowley.
Yep.
But it says here that that band you were talking about, Black Widow, used to play some shows with Black Sabbath back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You probably said that and I didn't hear you.
Yeah, yeah. They got a... but is Satanism really like... It's not necessarily just smashing goats and stuff.
No, it's singing about the devil.
No.
No, well, it's more like it's more like a way of living, isn't it? More than...
It's a religion.
Here's a list of...
I don't think Satanism is a religion, really.
Oh, it is, I think.
Really?
There's a church of Satan.
What you believe.
Yeah, but I don't think... I don't think a true definition of Satanism is, like, slaughtering and worshiping anything. I think it's more of a way of life.
Like Christianity isn't about going out and healing people and walking on water. It's about praying, right, to Jesus and God.
Yeah. But you don't, just because you're a Satanist doesn't mean you pray to Satan.
You don't think so?
No. I don't think so.
Because, well, I mean, you could be an anti-Christian and not like Jesus and God or not believe in it and not be a Satanist, right?
Yeah, but there's just, like, Satanism is more just a way of life, I think.
It says here that it's a broad term referring to a group of Western religions, so I guess it is a religion, at least according to this, comprised of diverse ideological and philosophical beliefs. So it's very diverse, very broad. Their shared features include symbolic association with or admiration for the characters of Satan and Prometheus, which are, in their view, liberating figures. It's estimated that in 1990, there were as many as 50,000 Satanists. And there may be as many as 100,000 in the world now. So.
Yeah, but it's not like you're going around just slashing goats and stuff like that.
Well, no, but I wonder, what did they do?
I don't know. I haven't read the Bible.
I haven't gone to church lately. I don't know.
Let's do it. Let's go to Satan Church and see what happens. Because I can't
see
find
right
it.
Down here, though, Wilvean Satanism is a philosophy not considered a religion by many of its followers. Its teachings are based on individualism, Epicureanism, and an eye-for-an-eye morality. Unlike theistic Satanists, Wilvean Satanists are atheists who regard Satan as a symbol of a man's inherent nature to be evil. So as a Satanist, you're just embracing the evil side, that selfishness, that narcissism, you know, those things that go along with the evil of man rather than the selflessness and the stuff of the good of man that you would think from the other way.
Well, do you know how to spot a Satanist? How you can tell if someone's a Satanist? Many people think that they would stick out like a sore thumb, but apparently they'd look and dress normal, not like bikers.
Or yeah, I wouldn't think
hippies.
So. Most wouldn't
Satanist.
Put the 666 on their chulapa.
No, because the longtime Satanist is very serious about hiding who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like they might have some skeletons in their closet, like sacrifices they might have done.
Real skeletons.
Yeah, but lower level Satan dabblers are usually meth and coke dealers, it says.
Nice.
Many drug dealers that are not into the occult know people that are. Because if you get all fucked up on meth, you're like, fuck yeah, hail Satan.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. Or rock salts. Bath salts.
Rock salts. You just start smoking rock salt. You break into someone's house, they shoot you with rock salt, you can smoke that shit.
Hey, what's your computer say about Amonimars?
It says that they're a band from Norway. That was pretty quick.
They're all in AA, I heard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a 12-step program with Amonimar that only twerks if you twerk it.
Twerks if you twerk it.
AA, Amon, I'm off.
Yeah. Well, because Amon was the original name of the band Deicide, which means something satanic. So let me see what I can find. I know that you've mentioned those guys, if not nearly every time that you've been on the show. I know that you like those guys. And when I ask you what's in Flames' CD, but I'm going to listen to some Amon Amarth. It takes its name from the Sindarin of Mount Doom, a volcano in J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle Earth. Their lyrics mostly deal with Vikings, mythology, and their history. So they're Viking metal, not Satan metal. That's why they didn't make any. They have released 9 studio albums and 8 music videos, 1 DVD and 1 EP.
When was their Twilight of the Thunder God?
Is that the name of an album?
Yeah.
Well, let me go down here. That was 2008. And they came out in 1998, so they've been around for 10 years before that album came out.
Oh, wow.
They have a new album that came out in 2013 called Deceiver of the Gods.
Ooh.
And then they have one in between, the one you mentioned, and the new one, and it's from 2011 called Surtur Rising, S-U-R-T-U-R. Surtur.
Huh.
Yeah, Amon Amarth, they're Viking metal, so they don't belong in the 666.
Oh,
they're not. They don't. They don't.
They don't sing about
people.
The devil.
They don't slash people.
Slash. Who's Slash?
Slash. Oh. Dude, I heard Obama.
He's the guitar player.
I heard Obama admitting he smoked pot.
Not just recently, right? I heard that a long
time
ago.
No, he said he smoked it in the future.
After it became illegal.
No, he said that he used to back when he was young and wasn't making wise decisions because he didn't have a paw around or something.
A paw?
A paw.
What, they cut his hand off?
A paw.
No, I was going back Little Prairie.
No, his dog.
Imagine if Barack Obama was on Little Prairie.
Little house.
Little shack in the tall weeds.
He might have grown up on a prairie back in the cane fields over there in fucking Hawaii, you know? That's what I think
they had a marathon of Little House on the other day, and I thought...
You're forgetting part of the Little House on the Prairie.
Oh.
Okay.
Little Prairie. I was going through, and it seemed like it was season 8 marathon. I was just looking...
Season 8? How do you know what season it is?
Well, you go through on the guide, on the Comcast guide, and it shows you which ones. And then I'd go through, and I'd look, and it seemed like in every episode, somebody was dying.
Yeah, they were trying to get done.
Yep.
They didn't want to leave anything unfinished.
Yeah, the one guy who was going to try to be death-defying guy.
Got burned.
All right, you guys hear that music, don't you? There's no train coming through the wall.
Is that Florida?
It is. Crazy Floridians. We were talking about the cane fields and Barack Obama smoking weed. Authorities in Florida said a cocaine possession suspect allegedly told police that he thought cocaine wasn't illegal in Florida.
Oh.
That's a great
defense. I didn't think it was either.
That's a great
defense. Bestiality isn't.
Oh, you can fuck your cat, but you can't be snorting coke. They said that they responded to a 2 a.m. call from a security guard at the Pier House restaurant in Key West. Three suspicious people on the property around the sound of a scream... Officer Darnell Seeley wrote in the arrest report he found a trio of people, and Guy Lanchester was one of them. He appeared to be hiding something in his hand. He asked, "Hey, what you got in your hand?" He quickly put his hands into a flower pot and yanked a bag out. They found less than a gram of cocaine in the pot.
Mm.
It was coke in the pot. And so they arrested him, and he said, "Hey, what's the deal? I don't understand. I thought cocaine wasn't illegal in Florida." They said, "Incorrect, sir. You're being charged with cocaine possession and felony tampering with evidence for trying to hide the coke in the pot." The two people with him were searched and released because they were good to go. So I don't know why anybody would think coke was legal.
Hmm.
Did you really think that, or did you just kid?
No, I was kidding.
Okay, good. All right, that's all I got for today. Cocaine,
I got
by the
one.
Way. Oh, you got a Florida story?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda is not your typical minister. He says he is God.
Oh.
Ooh.
And he has the number 666 tattooed on his arm.
All right. He's from Florida.
Yep.
Yep.
Crazy Floridians, man. I don't know what's up with them. I'm
yep.
Florida, man.
So does anybody notice why on his rosary beads his cross is upside down?
Because he's satanic. He's satanic. He's satanic that he fucking kills cats on the weekend. So here we go. Breaking news. Cocaine is illegal in Florida.
What?
Yep. Just go to Cuba if you want to do that shit up.
All right. Man.
That was a news story from 2007.
Oh, okay, good. Well, at least it tied in with the 666 thing that we had kind of going on here today on a hump day. If you can, try to hump six times today. That was a part of the plot line of a recent episode of The League I was watching where they were saying, "How many times have you done it in a day?" "I did it three times one time." And then they asked the chick, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband's all, "That's inappropriate." Like, that's not. We're all saying how many times. How many times you done it? Five. Five times. Whoa. Five times in one day? High five to you. And she's like, "Oh, it wasn't with him. It was with the guy when I was in college." And then they ended up going to a birthday party at the guy's house for his kid because he's married and everything. And so a dude was trying to break the record. I can't remember his name. That Steve Razzanini. What's his character's name on there?
Yeah. That chick Jenny's on a different show I saw her on, but I can't remember what show it was on that I saw her on recently.
He's all five times? When did you even have time to eat or, like, go to the bathroom or anything? God, you feel...
He just kind of do it all at the same time.
Fuck five times and then get on with your day.
A couple in France are getting married after they've been engaged for 6.5 years, but they had a little bit of trouble on their way to getting married. They're finally going to get married, though, even though he's been dead for 20 months.
What was his name? You don't know?
No, but he's been dead for 20 months.
Okay, breaking news. He's been dead for 20 months.
What?
Yep, and now they're finally going to get married.
Well, that's going to be a dead ceremony. That's a dead wedding. It's deading. Yep.
It'll be deadly quiet.
Oh, yeah. Could you guys please quiet down? I can't hear if he's breathing or not.
In Italy,
Italia?
People are tired of stepping on other people's dog poop. So they're going to start DNA testing dog poop left on the ground.
And then going out and killing their dogs that
no,
leave the poop.
No, they're going to fine them $700.
I'd just shoot the owner.
$700 for a poop?
Mm-hmm.
For poop.
That's an expensive turd,
that
man.
Is a,
yeah, it is.
You better get at least a fucking curl up, like a coiled up.
Oh, hell, man. I'd just keep them in the backyard then if they're worth that much.
Yeah, sell them to the kids on the street for half price. You know, it is episode
666
here today. And you, just to let you know that there is a disdain for Jesus all around the world still. In Davidson, North Carolina, just the other day, there's a new sculpture depicting Jesus as a homeless man sleeping on a bench. And he's in front of the church there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too like life for some. Cindy's Castrano called the police saying she was concerned for the safety of the neighborhood. She was quoted as saying, "Jesus is not a vagrant. He's not a helpless person who needs our help. We need someone who is capable of meeting our needs, not someone who is also needy." The homeless Jesus sculpture was previously rejected by cathedrals in New York and Canada, and finally this place in North Carolina has accepted it. "It's Jesus representing the most marginalized of society," said David Buck. "We're reminded of what our ultimate calling is as Christians, as people of faith, to do what we can individually and systematically to eliminate homelessness. Part of faith is commitment, is a care to the needy. You got to take care of the needy. So if Jesus was homeless," and I was even talking about that in my homeless show, saying that Jesus might come back in the form of a podcast, or he might come back in the form of a homeless person, just to see how much compassion you have for your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is standing at the intersection there, down by the Amtrak station there underneath the overpass. That's where I see homeless people in Albany here. You see, guy looks like Jesus. Do you give him a dollar? Do you ask him if he needs a shower? Or do you just drive on by and go, "Pff,
get a job"?
Yeah. "I work for a living, buddy. Honk, honk." And it just turns out to be Jesus. He whips out his cell phone and calls his dad. Beep, boop, 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 boop. "Hey, Dad." Dude in a blue Ford pickup just fucking said, "Get a job." And then he honked. He just fucking kept on driving. So mark him off the list.
Did you know in Canada the telephone number of the Supreme Court is 613-996-8666?
Fuck no, but that's awesome, dude. My wife actually requested a 666 phone number when we lived out in Lacombe. And the lady on the line kind of chuckled and then said, "Are you serious?" And she said, "Yeah, we're not Satanists or anything. We just like to make people go, whoa." So our number was 2580666.
Oh, 666.
That was the only one that was available with those three numbers right next. We would have took 6660 or 6661, 6669. We would have took 466.
Or 926-6608.
But it was pretty cool because it was 2580666.
Oh.
Oh, you were the devil. I see how it goes with you. You ever been in a high-speed chase?
Twice.
What?
Yes, I have.
You were the one being chased?
Yes.
On a motorcycle?
Yes.
I was the one chasing them.
How am I getting all these questions right? So did they catch you? Or were you in more than
one? I was turned in.
But did you do more than one on separate occasions? It's all statute.
I'm like to say right now I was lying.
Okay, darn it.
I think it was only once, but yeah, it was a good one.
It was a good one.
It was a good one. I had all kinds of Johnnies on.
That's what they
ass.
Say at bingo when you take your card up there. It's a good one. You're comparing your high speed chase to a game of bingo, Flames.
It was. It was a gamble.
So yeah. So it wasn't like they caught you and took you into custody. You got away.
I got away from, yeah, and somebody narked me off.
Damn, narcs.
Yeah. Well, I was on a, I had a little turbocharged motorcycle. They weren't catching me.
Turbocharged, you frickin'
nerk.
And a nerk turned me in. Well, if they would have...
It's not something I'm proud of.
Say you were in this chase, or maybe another hypothetical chase, and they actually caught you, and you just finally gave up and pulled over. What would be the first thing you could think of for the best excuse of why you were running from the cops?
Because I didn't have a driver's license.
Diarrhea.
No. Okay, now, I would say Dustin's is better because you admitting you don't have a license is going to get you a charge. Mm-hmm. If you say, I was shitting in my pants. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get to a bathroom, and now I've shit myself, so I figured I'd just pull over, let it stew for a minute.
Stew.
So we talked about a couple weeks ago or a couple episodes ago about stereotypes of certain races and racism and racial stereotypes, like Asians can't drive, right?
Yeah.
They like to take pictures, and they don't drive very well.
Well, that's wise, because they're taking pictures while they drive.
Well, don't use cell phone when diving. You need to take a picture. No, they got the big one with the fucking zoom lens.
They stop in the freeway to take a picture. Oh, look at that picture.
Well, there was a family of Japanese tourists in Salt Lake City, Utah, who were on a 7-mile high-speed chase. Well, high speed's up to 75 miles per hour. That's not that high. You were probably going 100 and something, huh? In your high-speed chase.
Through an apartment complex.
Sweet. Sweet.
100 in an apartment complex?
Oh, straight. Well, that's why my chain came off, because I hit that last speed bump so hard, so fast that it...
You got to watch out for your pant leg getting caught in the sprocket.
I was gonna
no, just my fingers.
So, like, here's my question: were you drinking Remy?
No, I wasn't. It was early. It was about
okay. So, were
11
you
o'clock.
Doing methamphetamine?
Yep.
A slight possibility that
could come. Yeah, that okay. was probably.
Okay, so here's this high-speed chase with a family of Japanese tourists in Salt Lake City. The vehicle was all over the road, on the shoulder, in between the two lanes, and the vehicle would not stop, the officer said. The vehicle didn't respond to lights or sirens at that point. Since there were so many of our extra officers in the area, they were able to put spike strips out, and they spiked three of the vehicle's tires. Police eventually spoke to the driver, Japanese couple, and the 7-year-old son. They were unfamiliar with basic rules of the road, they said.
Yeah, I bet.
That was their excuse. We were unfamiliar with the basic rules of road.
Well, you can, you know, people have gotten away with worse.
How?
Claiming that.
They thought he was drunk. And once the lights came on, he only moved faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
but if you're unfamiliar with the rules of the road in another country, though, you could claim amnesty or something.
He's all, "Where are you from, sir?" And he's like, "Omaha. We came from Omaha, Nebraska."
Nebraska.
So yeah, they just said we are clearly unfamiliar with basic rules of road, and authorities decided not to press charges.
Oh.
Hopefully they decided not to let him drive anymore, too.
Maybe I should use same accent and same excuse.
That's what I say. You say, "Oh, me, I'm familiar with rules of road.
I'm from Albany, Oregon.
Me a sushi chef at the Albany sushi store. Me train on the sensei for 18 years in Omaha."
Did you know that the first Apple computer had a retail manufactured retail suggested price of $666?
No, serious?
Yep.
That's fucking awesome. I thought you were going to say like $5,000. I thought you were going to say some outrageous amount,
nope.
Which back then is a little outrageous, but I forgot. It's 666.
Did you know editing for the horror movie The Exorcist occurred at 666 Fifth Avenue in New York?
I did not know that. That's weird, wacky, wild stuff there. Did not know that.
Cool.
Did you know when added together, the numbers on a roulette table total 666?
I was going to play roulette at the casino last week.
You should have played all the numbers.
Wow.
I was going to put everything.
Play all the numbers,
I was going to play everything on 6 and 66. Is there 66 numbers?
No.
Put it all on 36, because that's 3-6.
Oh, 6 times 6 is satanic 36.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you know after his presidency, Ronald Reagan resided at 666 St. Cloud Road?
What?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Satanistic bastard.
Did you know that if you multiply the number address of my house that it's 666?
What?
Because I live at 222 Beep Street in Beep, Oregon.
Hmm.
God, when do we get sensors in this thing?
I don't know.
What do you know?
I knew 666.
When did you meet? That's his first name, middle name, last name?
Yeah.
666. Ooh. Hopefully Hans will be listening on the day that this episode was released, which will hopefully be on the day that it's supposed to be released, due to any unforeseen circumstances. Maybe he'll change what he's listening to today. I don't think...
what's he listening to?
I don't think it's very satanic.
Uh-oh.
Hans, are you failing to be satanic?
Is he listening to Lawrence Welk Band?
No, he was listening to Satanic Liberace. No, just kidding. He didn't know that Liberace hung out with Anton LaVey.
I didn't.
I didn't either.
They're buddies. Oh, snap. It's Anton at the door. What should I do?
Oh, God.
What's in Hans's CD player? He's listening to a new album that from a band from Chicago, which I am actually familiar with. Thank God for Hump Days when Hans usually listens to something I've heard of. I actually listened to a song off this and posted it on my Facebook a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of the members of the band is originally from Eugene, Oregon. He used to be in a little band called Midian with Mike Scheit from Yob.
Mm-hmm.
The band is called, and you might like these guys, Dustin, they're called Indian.
Indian.
Their last album was more doom crust kind of metal stuff, but this new one is just a little bit different. I read a couple interviews with, what is his name? Will Wheaton. Nope, it's not that kid. I have his phone number in my phone. That's how connected I am with the Music Society. Indian is the name of the band. The album is called From All Purity. I'm hoping that that's the new one, because I'm sitting here telling you that Hans is listening to the new one. I know that he had told me that he ordered it. Hopefully he ordered it on Amazon by going to tagcastpodcast.com and clicking on the shop Amazon thing. But yeah, it's
Will Lindsay.
That's it, Lindsay.
Ah.
His last name is a girl's first name or a gay man's first name.
Ah.
There's a guy named Lindsay who is openly gay, who is the manager of the Dairy Mart in my town in Brownsville.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Lindsay, but it's spelled L-E-N-Z-I-E.
Mm-hmm. I think he probably changed it.
It's super swell. It's Lindsay. And he will Lindsay you some money if you ask him nicely. Just kidding. Okay. I was revisiting something that I remember mentioning before, but I'm trying to be true to myself and true to my listeners, and true to my friends here in the room, what I was listening to. I just don't have to, like, never repeat myself, because, of course, I listen to the same thing once in a while. And I dug out some records, as I told you on Monday. And I remember when I mentioned this album last time, Hans goes, whoa, Angel City, I forgot about those guys. So Angel City, Night Attack, I was listening to that.
Uh-huh.
And got into a little history about the band, where they were always known as the Angels in Australia, which is their homeland. And they got a record deal for America, but there was already a band called the Angels and another band called Angel, to where they were contractually...
In that song, Angel Eyes.
They could not perform in the
Angel
United
Eyes.
As the Angels, so they actually just changed their name to Angel City only in America. So if you get an import version of their CD, it's going to be the Angels. Mine was bought in America, so it's Angel City. But yeah, great.
I'm an angel in the city.
Check out Night Attack. They got a song about doing white dope. Long Night.
Long Night.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's good stuff. What have you been listening to, Amon Amarth, Flames?
No, yes, I've been listening to Little Iron Maiden, but I've been listening to Megadeth, believe it or not.
Oh, cool. Those guys didn't make the top satanic groups.
All of a sudden, Jack Palance shows up.
Why is he Jack Palance?
Believe it or not.
Oh, Ripley, huh? It's Dean Cain over here.
Yep.
Dean Cain's not believing it or not anymore. Now he's giving away $10 million if you find Sasquatch. Have you heard about that show?
Oh, boy.
If you find Sasquatch, you'll get 10 mil.
From Dean Cain?
Yeah.
He was on...
Superman.
He was
Superman.
Also, he was also on...
Lois and Clark.
He was also on a comic book, man.
Oh, with Kevin Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, good.
You ever watch that show?
No.
I've watched like one episode, but it didn't really... I like
it's
Kevin
a show Smith. About podcasting, dude. It's like the Mark Maron cast.
I thought it was a show about comic books.
Yeah.
Nope.
It isn't?
Nope.
It's just about his smodcast and all that stuff?
No, it's... Well, they all sit around a table, their podcast, and then... But they also do clips of their show.
Hmm.
Of where they're inside the... Inside the comic book store. And like that one chick... You know what's that one chick's name from Star Trek? I know you're a big Star Trek fan.
Meow.
You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, that's not her name.
The Asian lady?
Lieutenant Uhura?
Black lady.
Black lady.
Uhura.
Yeah, she was on there.
Oh, yeah, her.
And
I
she
know her.
Came on there, and she was looking for her character on an action figure.
Oh.
We posted that.
And they didn't have one, but they got one like 2 hours. They called all around New Jersey and stuff and found one in mint condition for her in like 2 hours.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Lieutenant Uhura.
Uhura.
The last one, they, the guys from the shop, the clerks on the show, challenged the guys from the Clerks movie to a bowling contest.
I'm not very good at bowling. Flames, how's your bowling league going? You still doing that?
I am. It's
what's your best bowl lately? What's been smoking down
about
there?
My best bowl lately is probably 244.
That's nothing, dude. I once bowled a 337.
What?
Yep.
I don't think
that was a handicap league, wasn't it?
Nope.
Hey, that's my league, bitch.
Hey, I bowl a handicap league.
What's your handicap? Physically.
My handicap? I think it's like
don't give me a number, I'll fucking punch you.
69.
Well, if you're handicapped at 69, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yep.
My friend Kingpin, he bowled.
Kingpin?
He average had a high average, but he bowled 15 frames.
You guys didn't know that that's the real story of how I lost my leg.
What, Kingpin?
I was trying to get my bowling ball out with my foot.
Oh.
And it just fucking sucked it right in there and cut it off, just like Woody Harrelson. You remember?
I watched Woody Harrelson in that new show he's got going on. You know which one I'm talking about? That new show he's got going on right now, Woody Harrelson.
It's called False Narc.
Yeah, True Detective.
Oh, yeah, True Detective.
It's
oh.
like those old pulp books. You know, True Detective.
Film noir.
But it's going to be
like a detective.
There's 8 episodes in this season, and then it's going to be a different cast every season.
Yeah.
So does it start in like his office, and this broad comes in with a case?
Now they're being interrogated in an office.
I could see it on her face when she walked into my office that it was going to be a long night. You know, one of those film noir kind of detective.
It was
kind
of like that. It takes place in 3 different timelines: 2012, 2002, and 1997.
Hey, I forgot to mention this earlier, but I don't know if we were talking about Raspberry Awards on Monday, and I don't know if you heard there's a new podcast, Raspberries. And Flame fucking takes the cake today. Flames with his fucking raspberries. Loan him a lighter. I want to see how he got his name for real.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. As long as it'll make the smell go away. Okay, we're going to get to this real quick here. A couple birthdays, just 2. And I wouldn't have mentioned this girl, but Dustin has an affinity for her and her TV show from the 80s. This is Marsha Warfield. I can't believe the reaction.
I thought you were going to go Golden Girls.
I can't believe I got the reaction.
Nah.
60.
You know, Bea Arthur was the lead in that film, Arthur.
Careful Place. In what, Arthur?
Yeah.
Oh, she played a drunk man.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You got him on that. Meh. Also, I got a pen in my hand.
Marsha Warfield, yeah, she was on Night Cart.
And we were, Night Cart.
Night Cart. She was on the Night Cart.
She used to play Mario Night Cart. Okay, and also today, that was a good laugh. I'm glad I brought that up. Almost skipped birthdays. I would have missed that golden moment. We talked about this guy a little bit on Monday, or maybe it was before we even started the episode. He's on a cooking show. He has a silent partner. He's got a show called Bullshit. It sounds like a writing utensil made by the company makes a shaver.
Big Gillette.
But it's his brother Penn. Penn Gillette today from Penn and Teller and many other things.
He'll be on Chopped.
He's going to be on Chopped, episode 30. I mean, season 30. Whatever.
They are up there. I'll get
so
Chopped.
Penn Gillette, just 1 year below Marsha Warfield.
Yep, 59, he also He was also on The Apprentice. One season he was on there just so that he could hang out with Gary Busey.
Ooh, I would do that just to hang out with Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Got any more coke, Gary?
I want to see Nick Nolte and Gary Busey in a fucking new sitcom where they're just both fucked up on drugs and drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Nolte and Gary Busey. They'd be like a... Nick Nolte'd be all, hey, just a second here. I need to get my fucking my tie straightened up. And Gary Busey'd be all, what are you talking about, man? We got to go out and fucking get that alien from the shopping cart out by the fucking freeway. Remember? I left it out there. Check out my new dentures. They look just like my other fucking they look like my other big teeth that I got in my fucking head. Fucking Busey and Nolte. It would be called like Nolte.
Season one of Chopped.
Was
premiered on
1997.
January of 2009, 5 years ago.
Wow. How do they have 15 seasons already?
No, they're not on 15
seasons. I was going to say, I thought that was a fairly
new
show. Really,
they just started season 19.
Wow.
4 years?
5 years,
how?
Yeah.
Do they do fucking four? They're like us. They just do four seasons a year.
No,
we're stuck on six.
They do a crap load of crap loads.
Right on.
They did
a crap load of crap.
They did three seasons of 13 episodes each in the first year, and then in 2011 they did five seasons. Some of them were only six episodes, and
Hey, you probably
19.
I haven't watched
it
enough.
Is going to be.
Come on now.
That's all I got.
Okay, I haven't watched it enough, but I know that I enjoyed what I did see, and I know you guys might have heard of
Chopped?
Epic Mealtime.
Epic Mealtime, no.
You never seen it?
Nope.
Oh, I think they get drunk and make food, and they had Trailer Park Boys on there the other day.
Nice.
So,
Trailer Park Boys.
On Epic Mealtime, yeah. It was
wow.
Pretty cool. So check that out if you're into either or both of those listeners out there. Check out Epic Mealtime featuring the Trailer Park Boys, Bubbles and Ricky and Julian. They're always fun to watch. Also, I don't know if I mentioned it this episode, but check out SwearNet.com. It's $4.20 a month, and you can go there and get unlimited content of upcoming trailers of the shows coming up and the new seasons and just other stuff you can't see. I think Corey and Trevor are back.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
From the Mental Institute.
Oh, yeah?
Which is awesome. I missed those guys in season 7. They were just gone all of a sudden. It was a bummer.
You know, I didn't. Now the last episode was they got their train came back from America.
Yeah, and they had $480,000, and life was good in the trailer park.
Yeah.
And then they had a 45-minute, like a double episode special, that was called "Say Goodnight to the Bad Guys," which was 1 year after they sat on the money because Julian had been watching a lot of movies with Robert De Niro and people like that.
Oh, no.
And he knows that after a big job, you always sit on the money for a year.
Yeah.
But he bought a DeLorean. That was the only exception.
Oh, God.
The DeLorean was in the Patton Oswalt episode of...
Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
It was.
Yeah.
And it broke down.
Yeah, it was steaming and shooting fucking steam out of it and semen. It was shooting.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a problem for him.
That was right after they got up to 88 miles per hour. That's what happened.
Dude, I got some breaking news.
Okay. What is it?
Egyptians walk like regular people.
Well, how did you find that out?
I just knew.
You just knew.
Now, obviously, you haven't seen the video by the Bengals.
No.
Okay, well.
Is Icky Woods in it?
No.
I don't know who that is.
Is that a guitar player? Cincinnati Bengal.
Oh, I thought it was a guitarist from Guns N' Roses. Icky Woods. All right.
No, that's his.
Breaking news. Egyptians walk like regular people. Story at 11.
And it's Sportsman's Day today in Egypt.
Awesome.
Oh.
That's satanic.
Yeah.
Egyptian sports is satanic. I don't know if you knew that.
Nile. Hey.
Yeah.
Aren't they satanic?
They're Egyptian.
Egyptian Satanists?
Like a Nile.
I don't know if they are.
Because I know they're pretty hardcore.
But they mostly just sing about like ancient Egypt stuff, which, you know, there's probably some pagan shit going on, you know.
Pagan shit?
Yeah, have you ever smelt that?
I've smelt pig shit, but not pagan shit.
Pagan shit smells like the devil.
Ooh.
Which is pretty stanky.
Stanky.
Nile, did you know they're from Greenville, South Carolina?
What?
Yep.
They're not from
Egypt? No. They just sing about ancient Egypt and Near Eastern mysticism, history, religion, and ancient art. As well as the works of H.P. Lovecraft, who's considered a little bit satanic, but I don't think they're really a satanic band.
They sound pretty evil.
Oh, yeah. And they're coming. All over your face.
Yeah.
No, they're coming to Portland just in a month. Listen, everybody, for the plugs after the show. It'll tell you when you can go see them up in Portland at the Hawthorne Theater with our friends in the band World of Lies and our Central Oregon death metalers, Seasons of Suffering, will be playing too. So that'll be a good one.
You know, it's also Learn Something from Li Feng Day in China.
So Li Feng?
If you'd like to learn a little something about Li Feng... He was a soldier of the People's Liberation Army of China, and he was killed at the age of 21 when a telephone pole struck by an army truck hit him as he was directing the truck to back up.
That's what you get.
Yep.
Yep.
He was actually 22 because by East Asian age reckoning, get this.
Get it?
In East Asia, you're born, you're 1 year old.
Hmm. That's weird.
Yep.
That's kind of like a festival or like the Oregon Country Fair. The first year that they had it, which was when it was born, that was the first country fair. So even though I was born in 1968 and the Oregon Country Fair started in 69, I always know what year of the fair it is because it's the same year as my age.
Yep.
Because they started at one, like a baby from that country.
Oh, what year are you born?
1968.
Oh.
Yep.
What month?
In December.
Oh.
I mean,
what?
August, excuse me.
I was gonna say.
I was conceived in December. That's when I was born, really.
Oh.
When I came out of my dad's penis.
Oh. Were you born in a bayou?
No, I was born by you. It was in Lebanon. That's where you grew up, right?
Yep.
That's where I was born. Lebanon Community Hospital.
Really?
Yep, that's where I was born. And then they made me stay like extra long.
Extra long.
Because one of my legs was extra short.
That hospital really isn't there that you were born in.
No, they got a new one in the same, a little bit over from where it was.
Because the hospital I was born in here in Albany isn't there anymore.
I hate that, dude.
Yeah, bastards. Mm. They keep just tearing down our hospitals.
I like here in Albany that the hospital is so close to the cemetery.
Yeah, it's not
long. It's right here in the backyard.
I think the morgue's right
in
between.
That's not a good sign.
Well, the morgue's right in between, so it's just hospital, morgue, cemetery.
Yep.
Boom, bam, boom.
Yeah.
Hey, were the Oscars on last weekend?
Yeah, Jared Leto won.
You know who hosted, right?
I did.
No, she looks so much like a man, it's ridiculous.
Oh, that lady from Glee?
No, she's a degenerate.
Oh, that degenerate.
Are those girls sisters?
Her and Portia de Rossi aren't doing so hot.
Her and Jane Lynch look like they could be sisters.
They probably are. Frozen, they are. They are sisters.
Animated
sisters in lesbianism.
Yeah.
667 is the number of the lesbians.
Lickers.
Or a 66, I guess, would be two chicks.
Yeah.
That was what that Frozen won for best movie. Animated movie.
Huh.
I heard it was all right, but I...
I tried watching it, but it gave me the chills.
I in the like studio today. Too. We got comedian Which? Dustin Gatchel here at the fucking Flames and Terry show. Welcome to Bob and Tom.
Hi, this is Donnie Baker.
You do a good Donnie Baker.
Yeah, but Jared Leto won for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, 30 seconds to Mars, my ass.
Catherine Martin won for Best Costume Design.
Well, what do you know?
Dallas Buyers Club won for Best Makeup and Hairstyling.
That guy is a dick.
Mr. Hublot won for Best Animated Short Film.
Well, this sounds boring. I'm glad I didn't watch it.
Best Visual Effects went to, can you name the movie that got the Best Visual Effects of the year? Can you name it?
Gravity.
Yep.
Oh, no. That was a guess and I won. A swing and a miss. I mean, a swing and a hit.
I thought it was
so
the
far,
Asian
Dallas
Sex
Buyers
Chair.
Club's won two awards.
What is the Dallas Buyers Club?
That's the one with Matt McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
Is that the one where he lost weight to look like he has AIDS?
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm fucking on fire right now.
That's the one Jared Leto is in, Satan too, and he doesn't have to lose weight to look like that.
Got me burned up. I know. He's the guy that got his arm cut off in fucking Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah. What?
You never saw that?
I've seen Requiem for a Dream. That's a wicked movie.
He's all the rage now because Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
All the buzz is around him now.
I'd like Matthew McConaughey to be in a movie with M. Night Shyamalan. Because I like the way you say those. Because you could do a
review. I'm not a
Doesn't that take place kind of like in like 1800s?
Don't you think...
I don't know.
Don't you think a good movie would be Matthew McConaughey with Alminta?
Alminta.
Yeah, don't you think they could play brothers in a movie?
Yeah. Pretty much. If they were in a surfing movie, which they both would be very comfortable in. All right,
one of the first big roles of Matthew McConaughey was that one movie. You know which one I'm talking about?
Cinnamon Roll.
No, that one movie.
This Hawaii Five-O. No.
No, the fucking stoner movie.
Yep. Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, take a pee test.
Yep.
Dazed and Confused, huh?
To pee or not to pee,
yeah,
that
was
the question.
That one, he was the older dude that was always hanging out with the young
None of them
dudes.
Look like fucking teenagers to me in that. So many old people play All right, well, we're going to get out of here and eat some more pizza. And before we go, we're going to leave you with some satanic background music because it's episode 666. And this was the number two top satanic band in the land. It's some Deicide. We played some Mayhem a little bit. I hope you enjoyed this episode, Hans, because it was mostly for you. Because I know that you don't worship the devil, but I know you worship the stuff that he endorses. Right? Is that how it works? I thought so. All right, we'd like to thank Flames once again for being here on the show with us.
Always.
Yeah. We'd like it if you were always
here.
You could be our Donnie Baker.
Hi, this is Donnie Baker.
Welcome to the Bob and Tom Show, and today on the show we have Donnie Baker. He's going to be making us go,
Breaking news, the lady in number 666 won Best Documentary Short Subject Movie.
Wait, what?
Yep.
Say it again. Breaking news, the lady in 666 won...
The lady in number 6, Music Saved My Life, won Best Documentary Short Subject.
All right, take it away, Glenn Benton Community College. Oh, there's a picture of Jesus with a fucking shotgun head to the forehead. Shotgun head. What the fuck is that shotgun head?
I got the shotgun head.
He's got
head.
A fucking bullet hole to the forehead. Oh, sorry. Now it changed to Glenn Benton Community College with a Billy Idol sneer, which is just odd. All right, you guys, thanks for listening on a hump day. Go out and listen to some satanic metal. Snort some bath salts. And come back and listen to us on Friday.
Don't forget to rock on.
Oh, yeah, and you'll hear it in the plugs, but come to Riley's on Friday and see me tell jokes. I'll be there. We'll see you guys on Friday. I'll remind you again. Peace out.
Rock on.
And meow, metal.
Meow.
Listen to that satanic guitar solo. It's just screaming the devil. By the way, this song was released on 666. So we better just listen to it for a minute. June 6th, 2006, this song was released to the public. It's called Homage for Satan. And that's what we're all about here at the Tearing Cats Comedy Show. Only today, though.
Satan!
Rolls.
Hey, all you taggots. What's going on out there? I'm going to give you what to do. Got a lot of shows coming up. It's going to be good. You guys are going to have fun if you go do this stuff. I guarantee it. Got a lot of open mics for comedy going on in the area. Every other Monday, it's Donk Gong Comedy at Taylor's, 13th and Kincaid in Eugene. Starts at 9 o'clock, and it's free. They got drink specials all night. They spin a wheel and change the special every hour. Wednesdays at the Tiny Tavern, 4th and Blair with Mac Chase. That starts at 9:30. The sign-ups and the show's at 10 o'clock. And Thursdays at the Green Room, 710 Willamette, right next to Doc's Pad. That's every Thursday, open mic comedy, 8 o'clock. And at the Kush Cafe at 1235 Railroad Boulevard in Eugene, 9:30 sign-ups, 10 o'clock. It's a free open mic comedy show there at the Kush Cafe. Got some shows coming up in the form of comedy. Like I said, March 6th, it's the Oregon's Last Comedian Standing at the City inside Kowloon's Restaurant at 2222 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Eugene. It's 8 o'clock, 21 and over, $5 at the door. Rock on. March 7th, also OLCS at Riley's Bar and Grill, 124 Broad Albin in Albany, 8 p.m., 21 and over, $5 at the door. I'll be at both of those, so come down and laugh at me. March 27th, Aziz Ansari at the Holt Center. That'll probably be expensive, but it'll be funny. So go check that out if you're into it. The next night, Friday, March 28th, it's the Grand Slam Comedy Show, the fifth installment. Rolling right along there at Denny's in Albany at 3435 Spicer Drive, right off I-5, exit 233. April 21st, it's Doug Benson's fourth annual 420 show. Always a day late with that guy. It's at the Wow Hall in Eugene, 8th and Lincoln. Shows are on, or the tickets are on sale for the show online. Go to thewowhall.com or something. You'll probably find out about it. All right, here's some regular rock and roll and music, punk rock, metal shows. March 17th, it's The Sword and Big Business with another band, Oh Brother, at the Hawthorne Theater. Tickets are $20 and $25 bucks. At the Tonic Lounge, March 28th, it's DOA, the punk rock legends, on their farewell tour with MDC opening the show. Tonic Lounge, March 28th. March 30th, it's Carcass, Black Dahlia, Murder, Gore Guts, and Noisem at the Hawthorne Theater for the Decibel Magazine Carcass Tour. I don't know what it's called. Decibel Metal Tour? I don't know. It's going to be a loud show. It's going to be a good show. Go check that out. Tickets are $25 in advance, $20 at the door. May 3rd, it's Nile with Seasons of Suffering and World of Lies at Hawthorne Theater. $13.50, the cheap ticket for a great show. That's in advance. $15 at the door for your favorite Egyptian-themed southern metal band, death metal. April 3rd at the Tonic Lounge, it's Destruction, the German metal stalwarts that they are, with Brazilian thrashers Chrissian open the show, Widow and Ex Mortis, also a classic metal band. That's all at the Tonic Lounge April 3rd. Also there, two other great shows coming up. April 3rd, it's Shadow of the Torturer with Bellwitch and Hell, another band I don't want to try to pronounce, but I bet they're good. That's April 11th at Tonic Lounge. This is at 3100 Sandy Boulevard in Portland, all these Tonic Lounge shows. You can get tickets online by searching Tonic Lounge, or just go there at the door. Most of them don't sell out. This one may or may not. 80s weird rock legends Missing Persons, featuring members from the band in the background. April 17th, Missing Persons at the Tonic Lounge. Also coming up later on in the summer, it's Motley Crue's final concert in Oregon ever. It's actually in Washington, in Vancouver, right across the bridge from Portland. Alice Cooper will be opening the show. That's at Sleep Country Amphitheater, so there's lots of stuff to go do. Go do it. Come out to Riley's on Friday in Albany here and help me win that contest. All right, thanks for listening, guys. Go back to tagcastpodcast.com now.